that. I'm not there.
Come on.
I'm sorry, I'm just very slow. Okay, James chapter 1, that's your verses. James, a servant of God and of the Lord Jesus Christ, to the 12 tribes scattered among the nations, greetings. Consider it pure joy, my brothers, when you face trials of many kinds, because you know that the testing of your faith develops perseverance. Perseverance must finish its work, so that you may be mature and complete, not lacking anything. If any of you lacks wisdom, he should ask God, who gives generously to all, without finding fault, and it will be given to him. But when he asks, he must believe and not doubt, because he who doubts is like a wave of the sea, blown and tossed by the wind. That man should not think he will receive anything from the Lord. He is a double-minded man, unstable in all he does. The brother in humble circumstances ought to take pride in his high position, but the one who is rich should take pride in his low position, because he will pass away like a wild flower. For the sun rises with scorching heat and withers the plant, its blossom falls and its beauty is destroyed. In the same way, the rich man will fade away even while he goes about his business. Blessed is the man who perseveres under trial, because when he has stood the test, he will receive the crown of life that God has promised to those who love him.
Great, thank you, Duncan. That's right. Shall I pray for us? When we pray, we're asking God to help us. As we look at the Bible together, he helps us to understand it. So I'm going to pray for us and ask God to do that. So let's be quiet for a moment as I pray. Father, we thank you for the Bible. We thank you that it helps us to understand you. It helps us to understand ourselves. It helps us to understand the world that we live in. I pray that you would speak to each one of us, wherever we're at with you, whether we call ourselves a Christian or not, whether we're not sure, whatever we say we would be. Pray that you would be speaking to us as we look at this passage now. In Jesus' name. Amen. 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 I'm going to show you a clip. It's about a minute and 55. And it's some BBC News coverage of the Nepal earthquake.
This is the moment the earthquake struck. You can hear the terror of those in this building. The result was huge damage in the densely populated Kathmandu Valley in Nepal, leaving rescuers digging desperately with their hands. The earthquake sent thousands of people fleeing for relative safety away from damaged buildings. The injured were treated outside hospitals, which have been inundated with casualties. Earthquakes of this high 7.9 magnitude are rare. This is the worst to hit this Himalayan nation in over 80 years. So far, more than 100 fatalities have been reported, but observers on the ground say that figure is likely to rise significantly.
Damage is massive. If people in the capital, people in other cities, have come out on the ground, in the open field, in bad matters, I do not know how many people have suffered injuries, but we are trying to get the first information from the resources.
Several buildings collapsed in the centre of the capital, the ancient old Kathmandu, including this, the Darara Tower. It was reduced to a stump, and there are reports of people trapped underneath. These extraordinary pictures have emerged too, of what looks like a statue being recovered. But this is a man buried alive and pulled to safety. Many others haven't been so lucky. On Everest, climbers were sent running for their lives from base camp as the quake shook them from their tents and triggered avalanches. At this time of year, many climbers are on the mountain. Experts say the earthquake was geologically very shallow, meaning greater damage. Danny Savage, BBC News.
Imagine you were there in Nepal on April the 25th when that earthquake hit. Maybe you lost your home. Perhaps one of your family went missing and perhaps they still haven't been recovered some week and a half later. Perhaps the school that you used to go to has been destroyed. If you were there on that day, how might you have been feeling? You can actually answer that question. How might have you been feeling? Josh, what do you think?
Depressed.
Depressed, yeah. What do you reckon? Bradley, yeah.
Upset,
yeah. Eleanor?
Terrified.
Okay, they're the kind of responses. Hands down, brilliant. Terrified, upset, depressed, distressed. Have a look at verse 2 of our passage. James, the guy who wrote this letter, who's writing to a bunch of Christians, says this. Consider it pure joy, my brothers, whenever you face trials of many kinds. Think about that for a moment. Doesn't James sound a little bit insensitive to the person in the pool who's lost their home, who's got a family member who's missing? James is saying, consider that pure joy. Perhaps you're going through a difficult time at the moment. Perhaps you're worried or stressed about something. James says to you, consider it pure joy. What planet is James from? Does he know our situations? Does he really know what life's about? What's he saying? How can he possibly say that to us? To consider those kind of things pure joy. As we go into this passage, we're going to see why he says that. And the first thing, well, the first reason I think why he says that is because our faith needs testing. So have a look at that verse again. Consider it pure joy. And then look at the next two words. My brothers. So we're not talking about those people who aren't Christians. James is writing to Christians. He's called them brothers. And he would only call them that, not because they're part of his earthly family, but because they're part of the family of God. Anybody can be part of the family of God if they trust in Jesus. That's why he calls them his brothers and sisters. So if you're a Christian here this evening, we can rejoice in trials. We're part of God's family, we can rejoice in trials. And the reason is in verse 3, have a look. That word because gives us the reason why we can rejoice in trials. And this is the reason he says. Because you know that the testing of your faith develops perseverance. So look at what James isn't saying. He isn't saying that we should see trials as a good thing, as a joyful thing, because the trials themselves are happy. Suffering is still suffering. He's not saying to the person who's lost their family in the pool that they should be happy about it. But he is saying that if we're Christians, trials are a good thing because they test our faith in God. Now I want you to turn to the person next to you for a moment, and I want you to think about this question. Imagine you were buying a car. What's the first thing you'd want to know about this car before you bought it? So turn to the person next to you. What is the first thing you'd want to know about the car you were buying before you bought it? Okay, come back to me. Let's have a few answers. Choose some different groups. We'll go girls and guys. That might give us a slightly different perspective on this, perhaps. Not make any judgments, but just thinking. Yeah, good answer. Thanks, Dave. So, Ali and Duncan.
If it's stolen or how much it is.
Excellent. So, if the car's stolen or how much it costs. Excellent. Good. Ali, you taunted, were you sharing with Dave?
Yes.
Excellent. Okay.
What colour it is.
What colour it is. Of course. Does it match my ensemble for today? So that would be blue, clearly, for me. Unless blue clashes with blue, that's fine. Eleanor, what would you
call it? How fast it is.
How fast it is. Interesting. Charlie, one from you, then we're done.
How many miles it's done.
How many miles it's done. Interesting. So they're all great answers. I wonder if you'd want to know how the car did in a crash. Yeah. Ever thought about that? Well, if you were buying a 2015 Volkswagen GTI, this is what would happen if you met it in a crash.
Oh, goodness.
Okay. The point that I was trying to make is, I think you'd want to road test the car before you bought it.
If nobody's going
to
do that.
They're not going to trash it like that. But you'd want to know that in a crash, there were things that would happen in that car that would potentially make you safe. So the true test of whether you buy a car is it safe? Is it something that's going to look after you? Is it something that's going to stand the tests that go on to it? Day after day, week after week, month after month, year after year. But in the same way, that's what James is saying about our faith. Our faith needs road testing. Why does it need road testing? Have a look at what happens in verse 3 when our faith is tested. Our faith, when it's tested, produces or develops perseverance. Why is that important? Because perseverance must finish its work so that you may be mature and complete, not lacking anything. See, if you think about it, when are we most likely to give up on God and write him off? Isn't it when we go through suffering and trials? Isn't it when that happens that we think things like this? If God is a God of love and he's powerful, then why am I suffering? What's happened to me is not fair. No one else I know is going through this trial, so why should I go through it? God doesn't care about me. He doesn't know what it's like to be a Christian when you get more bullied at school, when you have less friends and no one understands you. He doesn't understand the fact that I'm praying for a member of my family who's ill and they're not getting better. If that kind of stuff happens to you, wouldn't it be easy to give up on God? Maybe some of you are in that position right now. Things are going on in your life, and you're very, very tempted to say, God, stuff you. I've had enough. We all want to grow up, don't we? We want to become more mature. We want people older than us to respect us. Well, James says that if we're going to be a mature Christian, someone that others will look up to, we're going to have to go through trials. Because trials produce perseverance, and that makes us mature Christians. Imagine you were training for the London Marathon and you kind of dreamed up this amazing exercise and eating regime. Plenty of running, plenty of pasta. But after 1 week of the plan, you were shattered. You were bored of running and it hadn't seemed to got any easier. And to make matters worse, you'd ignored your eating plan and instead eaten a whole packet of Haribo sweets every day and 2 litres of Coke. So effectively, you give up. You decide you don't need training. You can just turn up to the London Marathon on the day and it'll be fine. I don't need to have done any running. Coke and sweets, they're all right. They'll do it. And then the day of the marathon arrives. How long do you think you would last in the London Marathon with that kind of exercise and diet regime?
Half
right. Not long. As soon as it gets tough, as soon as you start getting out of breath, as that Haribo sweet and Coke diet kick in, perhaps you get a little bit sweaty. You give up. You wouldn't keep going. Well, that's what the Christian life is like. Trials will make us want to give up on God all the time. All the time. But persevering through those trials makes us mature and complete. Perhaps you thought that being the complete Christian was knowing everything in the Bible. Perhaps knowing how to spell Jesus backwards. Perhaps being able to tell people the gospel in 5 sentences. James says it's none of those things. If we want to be complete Christians, we're going to have to go through trials. That's what makes our faith mature and complete. You might be sitting here thinking, help, I don't know what to do with that. How am I supposed to do this on my own? The good news is, you don't have to do it on your own. Have a look at verse 5. Someone is there to help us. If any of you lacks wisdom, he should ask God, who gives generously to all without finding fault, and it will be given to him. I don't know if some of the stuff I've been saying about trials is new to you. Perhaps it's hard to hear or to believe or to understand. Join the club. You may have heard this kind of stuff a million times and it's still hard to hear. That's why we need God's help. We need his help to understand this, to keep being reminded of this, to believe this, that it's a good thing and that it matures our faith. Who is the God that we're asking this stuff for? Well, have a look again at verse 5. He's the God who gives generously. He's the God who gives without finding fault. He's gracious towards us when we ask. So, imagine you were sending an email to God and you were going through trials and it was a bit like this. God, you can start with however you like, but I'll start with God. God, I just can't see the good in what I'm going through at the moment. Help me to trust you. This is what God's reply to you wouldn't be. He wouldn't say, refer back to my previous email. How many times do you need to hear this same message? Don't you trust me or something? Don't I always come through for you? Man up and deal with it. That's not his reply. Why? Have a look at verse 5 again. God, who gives generously to all without finding fault. See, going through trials should lead us to depend on God more. But is that often the case? Or actually, do we try and deal with our own struggles first without turning to God? You see, asking God and actually doubting whether he's going to do anything is a little bit like this picture of verse 6. Have a look at verse 6. But when he asks, this is the person who's asking for God's wisdom in trials, he must believe and not doubt. Because if he doubts, look what he's like. He's like the wave of the sea, blown and tossed by the wind. He's always changing. Depending on the direction of the wind, the waves are always going one way or the other. James is saying it's like that if we don't trust God. If we believe in one moment and doubt in the next. It's like having a foot in two camps. It's what James calls being double-minded. We're going to hear more about that in the weeks to come. But perhaps you're sitting there and you're thinking, well, is it really worth it, AJ? Is it really worth being a Christian? Is it really worth going through trials just to have this mature, complete faith? Great, big deal. Is it really, really worth it? Well, here's our second point, much more briefly. And it's that our faith will be rewarded. Now, a number of you have started exams, or you will do in the future. And there are many rewards for finishing exams. One of them is the results. And then the results, well, they're actually going to lead you to do something else, aren't they? They're going to lead you to do more exams, or tests, or training courses. Have you ever thought a bit about that? You do end of year tests, they become GCSEs, they become A-levels, they become university courses, and even when you finish university, even if you go, you're still going to have training courses. You're still going to have tests. There's always going to be tests. But there will be one day when there will be no more tests. It's a good day, isn't it? But I'm not talking about maths tests. I'm talking about a day when our Christian faith will not be tested anymore. Because, look at verse 12. Blessed is the man who perseveres under trial. I'm going to crown Dave, actually. Because when he perseveres, he receives the crown of life. He receives the crown of life. The crown of life is another way of saying eternal life. And you might find that a little bit hard to imagine. I've got you to draw a picture of eternal life. It's not the easiest thing to think about. And so you might be thinking, oh, big deal, AJ. You've given him a incredible crown of life on. It's not a great motivation for keeping going as a Christian. So I'm going to close with a picture, not on the wall, but a picture I'm going to describe. And I wonder if it might help us to see what this crown of life is. I want you to imagine a perfect world where there's no more suffering, no more pain, no more earthquakes, no more illness, no more tests, no more death. Everything that's good in this world now will be there. Everything that's bad in this world now won't be in there. It's a world that's going to last forever. And it's a world where anyone who trusts in Jesus will be there and will see him face to face. I wonder if that's what you'd like to be in. Well, that's what it means to receive the crown of life. That's the world that those who keep going are going to. So let me read verse 12 out to us before I finish. Blessed is the man who perseveres under trial, because when he has stood the test, he will receive the crown of life that God has promised to those who love him. Why don't I pray for us and then I'll tell us what we're going to do next. Father, we thank you that you know what it's like to suffer. That when the Son came down to this earth, he experienced every temptation, every weakness, every trial, and yet he kept going. Thank you that he helps us. He gives us wisdom. He gives us perseverance. And he helps us to know you and be closer to you. Father, as we go to our groups, help us to understand what this means for us and help us not to write you off, but to draw closer to you. And we pray this in Jesus' name. Amen. Guys, this is what's going to happen. After we do a talk like this, very often we'll split into groups to just talk about it for a few minutes before we then just spill out into the building and just do whatever. So do use that time to discuss what you've heard. If you've got questions, that's a great place to ask them. And if you run out of time, it gets to whatever it is, 8:30 and the group finishes, don't fear. You've still got half an hour with which to ask questions. In case your question has been answered or something comes up later on, it's a great time that we have to ask questions. So the way that we do that is we split up into groups, kind of the older guys and the younger guys. So those in 21, which is kind of year 6, year 7, and year 8, you guys need to go across there. And you'll be going with Duncan, with Hayley, with Lara. That's it. So why don't you go after that? David, do you want these? You might need most of them, actually. Thanks. And then the rest of us are with us. So, do you four want to go together at the back? Okay. And then we'll go here. Okay.
Didn't have a crown as I expected. Take away your crown of life, then.